8:55 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present news and news analysis by Elmer Davis.
Tonight or tomorrow morning, such non-combatants as are left in Warsaw will be in for more grief than they've had yet. This morning, German planes dropped leaflets on the city, warning the civilian population that a demand for its surrender had been presented to the military commander, and that if he refused, as he has since refused, according to a German official statement, the civilians would be allowed 12 hours to get out. There was also a 12-hour time limit for surrender, so it's not clear whether the whole interval was 12 hours or 24. If it was 12, it expires in about 10 minutes. And what happens if Warsaw doesn't surrender? In that case, to the Germans, the whole city would be treated as a battlefront with all the horrible consequences that must ensue. If there are any people in Warsaw who have any laughter left in them after these last 2 weeks, they must have laughed at that. For 15 days, Warsaw has been persistently raided from the air. For more than a week, fighting has been going on in the outskirts. All that time, it must have felt like a battlefront to the people who live there. Great numbers of non-combatants have been killed and wounded already, and people in Warsaw may doubt if anything the Germans can do would be much worse. It's true that so far, German air attacks and bombardments, so far as Warsaw is concerned, have been directed at military objectives. But what are military objectives in a city as big as Detroit, which is also the capital of the nation? Every railroad station, every railroad line, every powerhouse, gas works, pumping station, every factory making war supplies, every bridge and tunnel, every government building, all these are military objectives, according to the liberal interpretation usually given that term by attacking forces. In any great city, attacks on such places would lead to the killing of many innocent bystanders, and they're just as dead if the bomb that hit them missed a railroad station as if it had been deliberately aimed at an apartment house. The German explanation for this new threat is that German patience has been exhausted by Polish civilians who shoot at invading troops. But people in Warsaw who've lived through the air raids that the Germans put on before their patience was exhausted may wonder what more the Germans can do. Now, those of you who heard Major George Fielding Elliott, the American military expert, broadcasting from London on this network at 6:30, will remember that he took a more favorable view of the Polish position in the field than has been presented in these last few days. He insisted that the Poles are not yet beaten, that the Germans, no matter what territory and cities they have taken, have not yet attained their first great objective on the Eastern Front, to beat the Poles down so thoroughly that they can transfer troops to the West. That objective may be attained before long if they can succeed in crushing the large numbers of Polish troops still holding out in and around Warsaw, troops who appear to be pretty well encircled by German columns. But at the present stage of military operations on the Western Front, it doesn't seem to make a great deal of difference whether the Germans can transfer troops from the East or not. The French are still pecking away at the outworks of the West Wall, making local gains, but not yet attempting anything so costly and dangerous as an attack on the principal German positions. If Germany transfers to the West the 70 divisions that Marshal Goering boasted a week ago she would soon be able to transfer, what would she do with them? They are not needed yet to back up the West Wall. Almost certainly they would not be thrown away in a reckless attack on the French Maginot Line. Nor is there any indication as yet that there would be another violation of the neutrality of Belgium or the Netherlands. No, the present danger to England and France is not on the Western Front, but on the world diplomatic front. Three of the four great neutral powers, Italy, Russia, and Japan, are engaged in some very peculiar maneuvering. All those powers at the moment are inclining more or less toward Hitler, still neutral, but all doing apparently what he would like the neutrals to do. If the present inclinations of these powers could be translated into a partnership, even brief and limited, the Germans could afford to stand on the defensive in the West and trust to the activities of their friends in other parts of the globe to chip away the French and British empires piece by piece. 2 weeks ago, England and France may have been fighting to check the spread of Nazism. Now it begins to look as if they are fighting for existence as world powers.
A 5-minute program of news and news analysis by Elmer Davis is brought to you by Columbia and its affiliated stations nightly at 8:55 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.